negligence, the sin of negligence. And as we were saying on last week, negligence is when you're failing to do a thing, something that is necessary. You're failing to do something that is necessary or give it attention, the attention that is required. Last week we got kind of sidetracked. I don't want to say sidetracked. We started focusing on Paul versus Saul. And I want to go back over to that page that says the sin of negligence. We looked at 1 Peter chapter number 4, 17 through 19. It says the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, and all of our doing, you will realize that we're all of our doing, I don't care how long you've been saved, all of your doing, you realize, even as you get older, self manifests itself differently. Your self manifests itself differently as you get older than it was when you were younger. When you were younger, there were certain things that the enemy tempted you with that if he tried to tempt you with them as you're older, it doesn't work. But now, as you get older, he tempts you a different way. He uses self a different way to try to distract you or take your mind off of Jesus or cause you to be negligent in your service to Jesus. And this is why it says that the judgment has to begin with who? Us, right? The judgment has to begin with us. It starts in Jesus' house. And Jesus' house is where Jesus separates the right from the wrong. People a lot of times like to think that the Lord is separating the right from the wrong in the world. But remember, the world is already in sin. If you remember with 2 Corinthians chapter number, I believe it's 3. Oh, maybe I'm wrong there. Let me go on over here myself. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4:1.
Therefore, since we have the ministry, we faint not.
As we see Jesus being merciful to us, it motivates us not to give up on Jesus, right? People that give up on the Lord don't recognize the mercy of Jesus. They don't realize Jesus could have judged them long time ago. Jesus could have took your life long time ago. But he was merciful and he was gracious towards us. Sometimes you'd be looking around and you'd be wondering, why did this one leave and I didn't leave? Or why did this misfortune happen to that person that didn't happen to me? Why did the Lord heal me and didn't heal them? Well, only thing you can look at it and conclude is Jesus was merciful to you. Mercy is Jesus giving you more than what you deserve. You deserve far worse than the things that come your way. But when you recognize the mercy of Jesus, the response is that you don't give up on the Lord. You say, oh, yeah, I got to stick with Jesus because he's been so good to me. He didn't let what could happen to me happen. You know, that's the truth. I can remember sometimes looking down the barrel of a gun and knowing that the only thing that separated me from that bullet was the mercy of Jesus. Right? Because, you know, all it took was a little bit. Somebody get nervous, all they do is do this, that's it. You know, bullet is coming one way or the other. You ever hear some people say the man was clicking, 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 and no bullet came out? See, that's the mercy of Jesus. You know, even when you have accidents, some of you have made been in terrible accidents, but the mercy of Jesus, when people didn't think you were going to be restored back to health, when the people didn't think you were going to be able to have the activities of your limbs again, look at what Jesus have done. His mercy. And some people don't even get hit as bad as you did, and they die. You know, you thought about that? You know, you have been in fist fights and things of that nature, and you be fighting, 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 down, 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 and you just be thinking you're getting the best of them, and you say, well, nobody died. But then you hear about another person just getting one fist fight, and they just get hit once. And you'd be like, they only got hit one time, and the person really didn't hit him hard, but it ruptured a vessel. You know, a vessel was weak in that spot, and it blew that vessel. And look here, this fella is that didn't think he was going to, you know, I was just playing, just knocking him out. I was just trying to tell him, leave me alone. Now he's got murder over top of his head. See, the mercy of Jesus has been bestowed upon us. And for this reason, we do not faint. All right? Can't give up on the Lord, saints. Come on, keep me going.
And it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonor.
That's truth. That's why people don't like to deal with holiness. People don't like to deal with holiness because holiness speaks against those things that you try to hide. Right? Come on, that's truth. Holiness tells you to look at yourself. You people be busy pointing the finger at somebody else. Holiness tells you need to look at yourself. You complaining about the other person, but you need to look at who? You. Right? If you go over to your paper, I think it's there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and 31. What does 11:31 say? If we would judge ourselves, right? Isn't that the truth? If we would judge ourselves, we would not be what? We would not be judged. You see that? See that people don't want to look at themselves. It's easy to cast judgment on others instead of you paying attention to yourself. Remember that Jesus, when he was dealing with that harlot? And it was easy for them brothers to pick up them rocks and throw them. But when Jesus made them look at themselves, right? Scripture says that one by one they left away, right? And Jesus asked her, where are your accusers? Even though there were many, where are your accusers? This is why people don't want to deal with holiness, because holiness makes you look at yourself. It's easy to talk about what other people are not doing. It's easy to highlight other people's shortcomings. But what about you? Where are you at? Where are you coming up short? What part did you play in this era? Right? When there's an argument or there's a debate, what part did you play in it? Where are you being negligent? Right? You know, usually when there's an argument or a debate, somebody's upset because somebody's negligent. Somebody's not doing what they think should be done. Or they're not getting enough of it, right? You know, when a parent is negligent with their child, somebody's coming in saying, you're not giving the child enough care, whether it's food, clothing, adequate shelter or protection. They say, you are not a fit parent. And you say, oh, no, I love my child. No, you're not a fit parent because this child at this age should be this weight. And now all I see is skin and bones, right? Say, you're not feeding them sufficiently, right? You remember that thing where the lady had them adopted children? And the children, the neighbor saw them kids digging in the trash, trying to eat. You say the human instinct, the innate quality, inborn tendency of that human was to survive. And that meant going in the garbage to get food. And here these children just wanted to survive. Right. But the parents was looking all plump and healthy. But the children were looking malnourished. But when someone took them away from that environment and fed them, them children look healthy. Children nice and plump and thick now. But that parent was negligent. Negligence can be seen. Well, you know, negligence can be felt. You have to understand there's something when there's conflict that stirs up. Between you and someone else, between you and Jesus, somewhere I am negligent. Jesus is not negligent. Jesus is not coming up short. But somewhere in my life, I'm coming up short. I'm failing to do something that Jesus expects me to do, right? He doesn't put more on me. He doesn't put me in a situation that I can't perform, right? That's the truth. Lord don't give you a task that you're not capable of achieving or completing. When you're experiencing conflict between you and Jesus, it is because you're negligent. You're not doing things Jesus expects you to do. Whether it's praise, prayer, giving, sacrifice, something you're failing to do. Something you're putting other things, maybe yourself, maybe things that are going on, maybe your family. I don't know what it is, but something is coming between you and Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I can't bless you because you're negligent. You're failing to meet my expectation, right? Come on, that's truth. I've got expectation for you. And you're failing to meet that expectation. Therefore, there has to be a decision that's remade, right? Are you going to be accepted or are you going to be rejected, right? Come on, that determination starts in the church.
Yes.
That determination, where you're going to spend eternity, starts in the church.
Yes.
Don't you all realize that? You say, well, Elder Scudder, were you talking about whether I'm accepted or rejected? It starts in the church. Don't you know you can't receive the Holy Ghost unless the Lord accepts your sacrifice?
Yes.
Huh? Your sacrifice has to be acceptable to Jesus. Yes. You just can't throw yourself there and say, Lord, just deal with it. Nah. That's not how it works. Oh, Romans chapter number 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he tells you how to do it, holy and acceptable unto God. So I got to go through scripture and see what is acceptable to Jesus. What does Jesus expect from me, right? There are certain things that are acceptable to Jesus that may not be acceptable to the world. Right? You know, Lord doesn't approve of homosexuality, right? But the world says it's okay, right? But the Lord said, I'm against that. Lord said, you practice that stuff. He said, you're an abomination, right? You're doing things that are not convenient, right? You're full of lust, right? Come on. Yes, you're full of it. You're full of lust. And the rich writer done told you all that is in that world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This is not Jesus. Come on, you got to get that fixed in your mind. There's no way I can be acceptable to Jesus if I'm okay with that stuff. If I'm in agreement with that lifestyle. Something inside of me has to say, this is not pleasing to Jesus. Therefore, it cannot be pleasing to me. Lord says, if anybody got that stuff in them, the love of Jesus is not in them. Right? The love of Jesus is not in you. Huh? Then let me see this world don't love Jesus. This world has no mind to love Jesus. This world is not down the path. Or that the goal is not towards loving Jesus. Well, what is it towards? Loving themselves. They're selfish people. Huh? They're full of themselves. How can you glorify Jesus and you're full of yourself? Then you know the Lord made you for his glory. How can you glorify Jesus and you're full of yourself? That's the truth. Come on. There's certain things that are not acceptable to Jesus. You say, what is not acceptable to Jesus? A fellow should be a cheerful giver. Huh? Come on. He should give cheerfully. And when it comes time to praising the Lord, you should praise the Lord cheerfully. If you don't want to praise him, just sit there. Don't do it. Don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated. You praising the Lord and you look around the congregation and you may see people don't praise Jesus. Don't you get frustrated. Don't you get frustrated about what other people are doing. Get your mind on Jesus. You focus on Jesus for yourself. Let the Lord know, Lord, I realize I owe you praise. Jesus, you've given me opportunity to praise you, and I'm going to do what your word says. We are learning scriptures every time we have Bible class. And those scriptures remind you that the Lord is worthy of the praise. You are without excuse. Huh? The Lord, he just didn't tell you he's worthy of it. He tell you how to praise him. Now you are without excuse. We should be doers of the word. We shouldn't just be reading it and hearing it. We should see how can I put the word into practice? How can I do what Jesus says in his word? He sets expectation for me. He lets me know clearly in his word what he expects for me to do. I can't be negligent at it, right? I can't neglect to do these things. Now when the Lord is clear in telling me what he wants me to do, he loves a cheerful giver. A lot of times people just associate that to offering. But giving is of your time, of your energy, of your resources. Huh? Don't you have, when you're looking at Romans chapter number 12 and 1, Romans 12 and 1, that's talking about giving, isn't it? He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. Isn't that giving? What I mean, I should be giving the Lord my body. Huh? When I get down here in prayer, I should be giving Jesus my body. I say, Lord Jesus, use my hands. Use my hands to do what? Praise you. Use my lips. use my tongue to bless your name, right? Come on, saints. I should be presenting my body as a what? A living sacrifice. Huh? Come on, this sacrifice isn't dead. Old Testament sacrifices were dead. They were dead and they were stinky. They were dead, stinky, and messy. But the Lord said, I want you to be alive. When you put yourself on the altar, I want you to present yourself as one that is alive. Huh? Come on, dead stuff don't move. But you are alive. You have to let the Lord know when you get at that altar, Lord, you can use my body. You can use my body to praise you. Huh? Lord, when you come inside of me, I'm not going to be an inanimate object. I'm going to praise you. When Adam got the breath of God inside of him, Adam became a living soul. That's why when you receive the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, you should be a lively soul. One writer called us lively stones. Huh? Stones that got movement. Stones that are active, right? That's the truth. That's right. The Lord didn't give us the Holy Ghost for us to sit there and to be an inanimate object. He expects us to praise him. Huh? But the sin of negligence. Huh? I got to watch it. I got to see, Lord Jesus, please don't let me be negligent and cheerfully giving to you. Huh? Come on. A lot of times folks say, well, give to Jesus. Yes, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord the honor and the glory that is due his name. Give it to him. He deserves it. If you got friends that don't want to praise Jesus, you need to change your friends. Huh? You got family members that don't want to praise Jesus, you need to stop hanging around them family members. They need to know that you have your mind focused. And I don't want to be negligent. Jesus gave me a short time. Don't you realize your days on this earth are short? Jesus gave you a short time to perform, to act out, to show him that you want to praise him, that you want to be actively engaged in his service. Huh? Come on, saints. The Lord gave you a short time to go through your life and search yourself and get rid of all of the things that are not like him. Huh? Come on, we talked about giving. Now you got to go through your life and search yourself. See if I got any wrong bitterness inside of me. Any roots that don't belong. Huh? And I need to pull that stuff up out of me. Right? If I'm trying to be two-faced, I need to pull off one of those masks. And I need to be real with Jesus. Huh? Come on, I need to be real with Jesus. I need to be real with the Lord. The way you see me in here is the way you should see me out there. Right? Come on. It's up to me to pull off that mask. And be real. Realize the Lord's eyes are in every place. He sees everything. Nothing gets by Jesus. Huh? Come on. Even those secret sins. Nothing gets by Jesus. He beholds the good and the bad. Huh? His eyes never shut. His eyes are on me. Even the dark is light. Huh? Even when I'm trying to hide, it's light to Jesus. There's no hiding places in Jesus. He sees everything. Huh? So that's up to me to search myself. Say, Lord, if you see any wrong thing in me, I want you to take that stuff out of me. That's like that prayer of David in 51 Psalm. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Huh? And renew a right spirit. Huh? Don't take away the sin, but don't take away the joy. Huh? Yeah, get rid of the sin, but don't take away the joy. Make me back to where I belong at. Huh? Say, well, son, I used to praise the Lord with everything inside of me. Lord, take me back. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Let the word come true in my life. Let the word come true in my life that you've got the ability to renew my strength like you renew the eagle's strength. Huh? Come on. The Lord is able to bless your body, saints. We don't have to go around talking about the body. We don't have to talk about how painful the body is. Lord got the power to bless our body. Don't you know it is he that has made us and not we ourselves? We belong to Jesus. That's the truth. Don't let you have too many witnesses in the scripture. The way the Lord has showed you what you can do even in your old age. Remember that sister Anna stayed outside the temple. Huh? But she had a desire to see Jesus, to see the fulfillment of prophecy. She said, I cannot leave this place until my eyes behold the fulfillment of prophecy. Huh? That let me know even in my old age, Jesus has expectations for me. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the Lord blesses you? Remember the Lord blessed that brother to have finances? And what did he do with his finances? He gave those finances towards Jesus. He said, let me use my money to have a place for the Lord to lay his head. Huh? Lord said, while I'm living, I don't have a place to lay my head. But the Lord blessed this brother to see the sacrificial work of Jesus. This brother gave of his own resources and said, let him have this sepulcher for him to lay his head there, right? Gave of his resources. Huh? Come on, is that true? You say, oh, this guy, no. I don't feel like I belong. Cornelius didn't feel like he belonged. Huh? But he kept on sacrificing. He kept on praying to Jesus earnestly, even when he wasn't a part of Israel. Huh? Scripture says he was of the Italian band. He was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. But his mind was fixed on knowing that there was a far greater power than he was. And the scripture says he was devoted. He was devoted to that creator. Even though he didn't know his name, he prayed to him and gave alms to him. He was a giver. Huh? Lord is looking for you to be a cheerful giver. You have to be willing to give, saints. Y'all understand that? You have to be willing to give. Give of your time. Give of your energy. Give of your resources. Huh? Don't use all of your energy on your carnal desires. And then when it comes down for Jesus, you're tired. You're worn out. Huh? You say, Lord, I have no more to give you. But the Lord says, I gave you reasonable portion of health. I gave you the activities of your limbs. What did you do with the breath that I gave you from the morning all the way down to this point in time? What did you do with it? Well, Lord, you knew I had to work. Lord, you knew I had to go to the store. Lord, you knew I had to clean my house. You knew I had to do this. Lord said, no. That's not why I created you. I created you for my glory. I created for you to exalt me. Huh? Come on, I brought you into holiness to show you a more excellent way. A way that excels above all of the foolish stuff that is in this world. I let you see that he that loveth increase will never be satisfied with increase. He that loveth the riches will never be satisfied with his riches. Those that love the riches of this world will fall into divers temptations. It'll cut your life off. Y'all understand that? When you look to keep the money in your pocket, it'll cut your life off. You got to be willing to find those in need and give, right? Give. Be a giver. Amen. Be a giver. You see somebody walking down the street with a broken wheelbarrow? Give of your time. Say, let me help you out. Huh? Come on, is that the truth? Don't get so busy in your daily activities that you neglect to do what Jesus told you to do. Told you to be a cheerful giver. Huh? Lord blesses you with income. Huh? Doesn't he? He blesses you with income. That money you got in your pocket, come on, the Lord bless you with it. You get a check every month, the Lord bless you with it. Don't you realize he could have cut your life off? He could have killed you. You could have died before you even got one check. Y'all understand that? So many people have died. They went on out of retirement with the expectation that they were going to sit back and relax. And they died. They never got one check of their retirement. Y'all understand that? Come on, saints. It happens time and time again. Men go to work for 2 weeks expecting to get a paycheck. And they die on payday. Huh? They die. Friday morning, they don't get up. They die on payday. Huh? Come on, you hear it over and over again. Huh? Come on, but the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Lord loves those that are happy to give of their time, to give of their resources. Huh? Come on, saints. Amen. Come on, where are you at? In Romans 12, that's a giver. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable. Be not conformed Y'all have that in your mind? I got to realize if I'm going to walk with Jesus, I got to have it in my mind. I cannot be like the world. I don't want the Lord to see me and see me looking like the world. I want the Lord to see that I'm willing to put a difference. Now, what he told you in Leviticus 10:10, that you put a difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. Huh? Touch not the unclean thing. Is that what the Lord told you? Touch not the unclean thing. Right? Told you to come out from among them and be ye separate. Said the Lord, that's holiness. Lord tell you to come out from among them. Put a difference between what is right and what is wrong. What is pleasing to Jesus and what is not pleasing to Jesus. I got to have that fixed in my mind all the time. Huh? Got to go to bed with it in my mind. Got to wake up in the morning with it on my mind. That I have to put a difference between what is holy and unholy. Acceptable and unacceptable to Jesus. Lord Jesus, help me to meditate on your word. Huh? On the word I meditate. On a day and night. Huh? Come on. Come on. You got to meditate on this word. Let the words of my mouth, huh? Meditation of my heart, be acceptable in the sight, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are my strength. Oh, Lord, you are the one that redeemed me. Redeemed me from where? From the hand of the enemy, right? You redeemed me from death, right? You got to meditate on this thing. You got to meditate, one writer said, day and night. Huh? Get it fixed on your mind. You have children, bind it upon the tables of their heart, hanging across the necks. In other words, let it get heavy. They say, oh, daddy, oh, mama, the burden is heavy. You say, yes, the burden is heavy. But it was a mighty hand that brought us out of Egypt. It was a mighty hand that brought us out of the house of bondage. I know you may not understand, but Jesus was merciful to you. Because if it was up to Pharaoh, y'all hear me? Do you all hear me? If it was up to Pharaoh, you would have no seed. Y'all understand that? You would have no seed. You would have no children. If it was up to Pharaoh, you would have no children. In other words, you would have no hope of the future. When you look at your children, you're looking at the hope of your future. The longevity of your name, right? And to hear the devil make you think that they're a burden. Yes, they are a burden. They're a burden. But you got to realize what you're trying to establish. You're trying to bring longevity. Huh? Longevity to what you believe. What you stand for. I want my children to carry forth the torch. Huh? I praise Jesus. Every time I hear my son sing a song of praise, it does my soul good. Why? Because I know I was a singer. I love to praise Jesus in my youth. I love to glorify Jesus. Now when I see another generation with a mind to praise Jesus, I say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not cutting them off, right? Thank you for not cutting them off. Thank you for not cutting him off. Huh? And I thank the Lord he got a friend, right? He's got a friend now. And the Lord has blessed him to have another generation. And I'm trying to raise them up. Huh? That's why we let the children walk around. Because I want them to know you're free to praise Jesus. This is a place for you to be glad about. Huh? Church is not a place for you to feel bad. But I want you to realize you can be glad to praise Jesus. Be glad to praise him. I want the youth to be excited to praise Jesus, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Teaching it now. Clap your hands. Yep. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We had on a sober the other day. We were saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She was looking all in my mouth. I said, yes. Pop, pop, say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And she smiled, trying to put it in her. Trying to put it in her. Because I need another generation. Huh? To do what carried for. Huh? That's why I'm tarrying with them. That's why I put them at the altar. Tell them, call Jesus. Call Jesus so you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Huh? So the Lord can empower you to be that witness that he's calling for in these last and the evil days. You want the Holy Ghost so you can be a witness, right? Huh? You want the Holy Ghost so you can be that witness. Huh? A lively witness. a bold witness, a witness that is willing to declare that Jesus is God. Huh? Are you a witness? I want to be that witness to declare that Jesus is God. Jesus is the name of the Almighty God. Huh? Oh, yes. When I open up my mouth, I want Jesus to come out of my mouth. Huh? Come on, saints. Don't you want Jesus to come out your mouth? Are you the witness? Huh? If the Lord made you alive, you should be the witness. If anybody should be able to declare it, you should be able to declare that Jesus is God, that life is in his name. Huh? Oh, yes. I can declare that life is in his name. How can you declare that? Because one day I was calling on the name. One day the name allowed me to cross from death unto life. One day there was no praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. One day my soul was empty. There was no praise. Huh? There was no fire. There was no life. But all of a sudden, like a rushing mighty wind, huh? I read it. I heard it, but I did not experience it. All of a sudden, like a rushing mighty wind, the presence of the Lord, it overshadowed my body. Huh? It didn't get just on me. It didn't just get on me. It came down on the inside. Didn't just come on the inside and sit. It walked up and down in me. Huh? Didn't walk up and down just in my fingers. It got in my toes. It got in my ears. Then it got in my tongue. Huh? Got in my tongue and it loosed my tongue. Y'all hear me? The Holy Ghost loosed my tongue. It took control of a member of my body that I had no control over. And it blessed him. It blessed the Lord in a language I did not learn. That's right. When you speak in tongues as Jesus gives utterance, it's a language you did not learn. It's a language you can't even read about. Huh? Yeah, it's a language you can't even read about it. It's a divine dialect. Y'all understand this? Lord didn't give me this tongue for men to interpret what I am saying. No, he didn't. He didn't give you this tongue for men to interpret what you were saying. He gave me this tongue for my spirit to speak with his spirit. Y'all understand that? So that I can have a line of communication between me and Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's a language that the devil don't even know. Y'all understand that? It's a language that the devil don't even know. It's between me and my maker. Huh? It's between me and the lover of my soul, right? Yes. And then when he gets through talking with me and I get done talking with him concerning all of the issues of my life. Huh? This is why I tell you, get down on your knees and call Jesus. Get down in and you cry to Jesus until the Lord takes control. Huh? Because when he takes control, that means that inner man will connect with Jesus. Huh? Come here, D. Come here for 2 seconds. See? I call Jesus and call him to that inner man. Give him grand hope. Say, connect with Jesus. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
And then while I'm connected, I talk with him. Huh? I ain't talking with nobody else. I'm talking with him. Huh? And just like I talk with him, I expect to hear. Y'all understand it? I expect to hear something back. And I don't let him go until he addresses all of the issues of my soul.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And then when I'm done, let go.
Jesus.
I get up with a confidence. What's my confidence? All things. Y'all heard me? This is not me making it up. You can sit down, brother. That's scripture. Scripture says, once I made the connection like I need to, and once the connection is done, I should leave the communication with the confidence that all things work together for good. Everybody understand that?
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
See, you praying and you ain't got there. Your prayer life is ineffective. It's not working. You should get up off of your knees with the confidence. Huh? See, you, everybody say, well, I don't know what you're talking about because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to understand. Only the Holy Ghost can open up your mind to this. Only the Holy Ghost can reveal unto you the mystery. What mystery? The mystery that the eyes don't see. The mystery that the ears don't hear. But he said he revealed them unto us by his spirit, right? You need the Holy Ghost to get this, right? You have to desire the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is Christ in you. Huh? But you cannot get the Holy Ghost. I'm going back to what I said. You cannot get the Holy Ghost until the sacrifice is right. And you can't blame nobody for your sacrifice being right. Because it's yours. This is your presentation. Everybody understand this? This is your presentation. This is your opportunity to present yourself. Is this what Romans 12:1 say? He said, I beseech you. Every time y'all come to church, don't you realize that's what I'm doing? I'm begging you. I'm beseeching you. Everybody to hear my voice. Pay attention. Pay attention to what? Present your body a living sacrifice. Huh? Don't do it your way. Be holy. Be holy. Be holy. Huh? How can I be holy? Verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed how? Didn't I tell you that's on you? Huh? I done seen too many people receive the Holy Ghost. And I know it takes the same thing. It takes you to change your mind. Huh? Some of us, the Lord beat us down to a pulp. But he got to do what he got to do. That's how let you know how much you are in yourself. One thing you learn about a selfish person, it takes a lot to break them down. What was Pharaoh? Pharaoh was a selfish person. Huh? It took the Lord to take him through a whole lot. And who was the loser? All of the people were the loser. All the people suffered because of Pharaoh's hard heart. Even his child died. Huh? Not Pharaoh, his child died. Because of what? His hard heart. His whole army. Y'all understand that? Because of whose hard heart? Self ain't nothing to play around with. You better break down that stubborn heart. When you got a mind, when you wrestling with thoughts not to do what Jesus tells you to do, you better break that stuff down. You better soften your heart. Soften it and be receptive to what Jesus is saying to you. Don't you realize he's giving you space and time, isn't he? Isn't the Lord doing that? He's giving you space and time to get your house in order. Huh? Why? Come on. Come on. Don't be like the rich man. What did the rich man do with his space and time? He looked at his possessions and he said, oh, I got so much. I need more space. Let me tear this down and let me build up greater. Huh? Come on, y'all understand this? That's the attitude of the selfish person. Huh? Let me tear down and build up greater. What was the other attitude of the rich man? Walking by somebody that was poor. Huh? Walking by somebody that has sores. You saw how the dogs were treating him. But you were too busy living the life. Fair and sumptuously. Worrying about what your outfit looked like, right? Huh? Fair and sumptuously. Dressing yourself in fine linen and purple. Purple was a sign of royalty. Huh? So dressing himself in, he was very selective. He said it wasn't just no cotton. Huh? I don't need no polyester. I want fine linen. stuff that takes time to put together. And it needs to be dyed purple.
Thank you.
And I want my table full. Full of food. Huh? And moreover, he said he let the crumbs, huh, fall off his table. Huh? And the dogs got the crumbs before Lazarus did. Y'all understand this? The dogs ate better than Lazarus. Huh? Scripture said that Lazarus just desired. Everybody understand it? It doesn't say Lazarus was fed with the crumbs. He desired. He didn't want to eat what the rich man was eating. He said, I just want the crumbs. I just want enough to sustain life, right? See, you need to get understanding, saints. We cannot desire the stuff that the world has. Can't desire their lifestyles, the way they do the things. But our hearts and minds must be fixed. Fixed on what? We got to have Jesus in our mind. We have to have eternity on our mind. We have to realize the Lord has gone away for us to prepare a place for us. And it ain't no mansion like you thinking. Huh? You know how people be singing them songs? I know I got a mansion. And you don't even understand what the scripture is talking about. A mansion is talking about another body. Huh? No, just like you got this body, the Lord got another body. Huh? Prepared for you, right? It's not of the earth, but it's eternal. Where? In the heaven, right? Lord got a closet in the heaven with your body hanging in it. Huh? Huh? And the only way you can get it is you got to get there. You got to be caught up to meet him in the air, right? And you're going to stay there with him until he come back for those that are alive and remain, right? Those that are dead, he's going to bring them back with him to do what? To get their bodies. They're going to be changed in the what? The moment and the twinkling of an eye. They're going to be caught up, and those that are alive are going to be caught up together with them. And we're going to be with Jesus. See, that's where your mind got to be at. You can't be thinking about the stuff that is going on down here. Y'all realize me and my wife spent I didn't spend most of the day. She spent most of the day cleaning. Her and my daughter. They did a beautiful job, whatever they was doing. Going through papers. But we didn't do, when you look at it, the sum of it, it really wasn't even a lot. Because I know in our bedroom, we only got the one shelf. I said, good Lord. You know, but I realized in another couple of, if I let it leave the way it is, the same dust I wiped off is going to be right back there again. I don't throw dust on top of my refrigerator, but it finds a way. Huh? And you say, well, it's got a, why is it so dusty? Because I was negligent. Y'all understand it? Now, if that's true about your refrigerator, what about your spiritual life? Huh? How negligent are you to do house cleaning? Huh? Are you going through getting rid of the ungodly thoughts, the negative ways, the negative speech, the negative attitudes, the hypocrisy? Are you getting rid of the malice, the bitter, the clamor, the anger? You got to get rid of all of that stuff, saints. Stuff, anything that's not like Jesus. You say, Lord, this is not like you. And I can't let this stuff linger inside of me. Jesus, I need you to take this stuff away from me. Let me see what I should be doing in the word and help me to take away all of the opposite. The Lord say, make a joyful noise. If I'm not doing that, Lord, take it away from me. I don't want to be negligent in that, right? I'm telling you, when the devil got a hold of your mind, you're in a bad state. You'll be talking about how much you want to be saved and you don't even pay attention to how evil you are. I know folk like that. I hear about it all the time. And I'm praying the Lord touch the people's minds and stop trying to fool with these folk that are reprobates, that have rejected righteousness. That's how they rejected righteousness. They don't have no soft heart. When I look at them, I hear Pharaoh. Pharaoh say, I will not let these people go. Huh? In other words, I'm not going to let you praise Jesus, right? Pharaoh said that, right? I see the spirit of Pharaoh, the hardness, the callous. Huh? I see the bullying attitude of Pharaoh. The bogarting way. Huh? That's truth. Pharaoh's way, right? Pharaoh didn't have the heart of Jesus. Huh? He didn't have the heart of Jesus. He was in it for what he could get out of it, right? That's the truth. The heart of that Pharaoh. Come on. Did you finish? Yeah, you can jump right back on over to Corinthians. We renounce those hidden things. Of dishonor. See why the judgment has to begin here? See, the Lord is going to open up to us a righteous word. And that righteous word is going to say, Stephen, look at yourself. Huh? It's going to call you by your name, isn't it? And it's going to say, Stephen, look at yourself. Huh? Stephen, you're dishonest. Huh? You're not giving the whole story. Huh? You're not telling the whole truth. Have y'all had Jesus do that to you? Amen. If you ain't had him do that to you, you better get a little closer to Jesus. You better get a little closer to him. So he can show you the errors of your ways. Yeah, how many of you? I mean, that's the truth. You know it. You were doing something one way, and the Lord showed you your way is the wrong way. And he let some stuff come your way. Some judgments, some penalties for your rebellious attitude. Now, what did you learn from that? If the Lord put you back in the opportunity, are you going to do the same thing again? What is your attitude? What is your mind frame? What lesson have you learned? Right? Come on, saints, I'm talking about the sin of negligence. What lesson have you learned? Lord Jesus, if you allow me to go through this test again, please, Lord Jesus, help me not to go through in my selfish ways. Help me not to be in myself. Help me not to look at it through natural eyes. Help me not to look at it and say what I can get out of it. But Lord Jesus, I want you to be glorified in everything that I say and everything that I do. I want people to see you. I want people to see your hand in my life. Everybody understand that? Sometimes that take getting hit and not hitting back. Amen. Didn't Jesus get hit? Oh, yes, he did. But he did not hit back. He told you, I could hit back. I could call down a legion of angels and destroy all of you, right? I could hit back, right? Come on, it's up to you to know your strength. Huh? It's up to you to know your... I ain't got nothing to prove. It's up to you to know your strength. That's the truth. You gotta, as scripture says that, we renounce. What does it say? The hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking trying to be slick sinners. Everybody understand that? I'm not trying to be a slick saint. I'm trying to be real. What you see is what you get, right? You don't like it? Amen. Going about your business, right? But I'm not being a slick saint. Huh? I'm not trying to see what corners we can cut. Amen. We got a roof that needs to be done. Every time it rains, I dread it. But I don't want to be a slick saint. All I want to do is say, Jesus, please help our temperance. Help our self-control. Huh? Help our self-control so that we can build up what we need to build up. Huh? Raise up friends for us. Amen, Lord Jesus. What does a friend look like? I don't need nobody to pay off that Bentley to do my roof. I don't need nobody to put their children through college to do my roof. Huh? In other words, if the material costs $5,000, I'm willing to pay you for your time. Huh? You say, well, I need to bring so many people here. We'll get up there. Just tell us what we need to do. I know how to tear off some paper. Just tell us what we need to do. I'm willing. Everybody understand that? You got a pastor that's willing, right? And I need you to be right behind me, right? I thank the Lord for the brothers. The brothers have a willing mind, don't they? Amen. I thank Jesus for all of you. It's the truth. Y'all got willing minds. And those that come this way, we want them to have the same thing. You got to have a willing mind. Willing and mind to do what? Put your hands in the dirt and work. Huh? We're not on the side of the road begging. Lord, bless us with this place. If he blessed us with it, he can help us take care of it, right? Amen. He can do it, right? There's nothing too hard for Jesus, saints. I believe that. I don't have to sell a chicken wing. I believe Jesus. Why do you think we got that sign up there? I believe Jesus. I believe him, saints. Know the Lord is nothing too hard for the Lord. I know the Lord bless all of you. Bless you with good income. Now we do what we supposed to do. The job won't be hard. Huh? Don't you be the cause of the job being hard. Huh? Well, that's kind of what you're talking about. What am I the cause? Are you doing your fair share? Huh? Come on. You're sitting in the seat, enjoying the fresh air, being protected from the elements. Are you doing your fair share? Right? Are you a grudging giver? I don't feel like, don't you do it then. But I'm telling you, a worse thing is going to fall on you. Ain't but so long the Lord going to let you stay here and leech off of his people. Huh? You have been put on notice. Amen. Huh? You have been put on notice. The Lord say you are a robber. Y'all understand that? You robbed from this nation, right? Huh? Amen. Huh? And instead of the Lord rebuking the devourer, the Lord is going to show the devourer where you are. Huh? Do y'all want the Lord to do that to you? I don't want the Lord to point me out when the devourer was walking down the street. Say, there he is. Right? Huh? No hedge to protect you. Amen. That's the truth. Come on. Finish
your
handling
the word of God deceitfully.
Yes.
But by manifestation of the truth.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. How many of you have felt the truth hit you?
Amen.
The truth of the word.
Yeah.
I mean the truth of the word. You just don't talk it, you feel it.
Yeah.
You, but with some of you, we've been hearing the messages. Some of these messages, they hit you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I told you, don't think I just be saying it. I go back and I listen to everything that's being said. And sometimes it bring tears to my eyes. I say, ooh, Jesus, you're talking about me. Right? Huh? He telling me I desire truth from where? You talking about me, Jesus. You letting that hammer hit me. Right? And I ain't got room to blame nobody. Because I just got to take it and say, Lord, make me what you desire for me to be. Keep shaping my life. Huh? Get up on that wheel. Huh? Get up on that wheel. Let the Lord cut off that old hard clay. Huh? That old hard, brittle, no good clay. Stop trying to hold on to it. Say, Lord, just take away the hardness. Let that callousness. Take it away, Lord Jesus. Keep going.
And it says here, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience.
Yes.
In the sight of God.
That's right.
Keep going.
If the gospel is hid, is hid to them that are what? Y'all understand that? Is hid to those that are what? Lost. Why are they lost? See, you gotta get sick of the devil controlling your mind. That's the only way you're going to come into the truth. You got to get sick of the devil controlling your mind. You need to know when the devil got a hold of you. It's a sad thing. You keep walking through life and don't even know when the devil got your mind is possessed. You blaming it on everything else. Mental illness. It's mental illness. I'm depressed. I'm dealing with this. Nah, you got the devil inside of you. Ain't no way in the world you bipolar, schizophrenic with all this Jesus around here. Don't think mental illness or whatever you want to classify it is new. It ain't new. They would have categorized that man throwing himself in the fire, cutting himself, trying to kill himself. They would have told him he had a mental condition. But in Jesus' day, Jesus said, bring him to me. Huh? Bring him to me. I'm the one that can bless your mind, right? God knows when the Lord got a hold of that brother. Huh? He stopped throwing his clothes off. He stopped throwing himself in the fire. He stopped cutting himself. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, right? Now, if the Lord did that for him, what more would he do for you? I believe that, saints. That is my faith. That's not my faith. My faith is not if some people need pills. That's not my faith. Some people say that. Sometimes people need a pill to calm down. That's not my faith. My faith is you need Jesus. And if Jesus can't do it, it's not going to get done. I don't care how many pills you take. If Jesus don't regulate your mind, it's not going to be regulated. That's why I say you better grab hold of Jesus while your mind is sound. Before you get demented. Huh? Before Alzheimer's set in. Because for some of you, it's coming. The traits and the it's happening. You're repeating yourself. You don't even know you're repeating yourself. Saying the same thing with the same tone over and over again. Don't even realize it. It's setting in. It's telling you. Say, oh, dementia's setting in. You better grab hold of Jesus real quick. Huh? You better grab hold of Jesus real quick. You can talk about these seniors that have been saved for years, but I'd rather you keep on saying the same thing over and over, and it's about Jesus than to be saying a bunch of foolish stuff. Amen. I'd rather you keep saying I've been running for Jesus a long time and I'm not. I'd rather you say that till you get to the grave than a bunch of foolishness, right? Lee spoke will know when you stop breathing what your life said. Y'all, everybody understand it? What your testimony was, right? This is not a play thing, saints. It's not a game. This is not a game. Take this thing very seriously. Don't let the devil get hold of your mind. Don't let the devil block what Jesus is trying to do for you. Jesus is trying to show you the truth. Huh? Only want to keep trying to tell you, you got more time. Maybe it's a different way. That's the God of this world. God of this world don't want you to give your body as a living sacrifice to Jesus. He don't want you to live your days out for Jesus. He wants you to be full of yourself, full of your ambitions, your goals, your agenda. I want to get this. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to get this. And then once I get all of this, then I'll come to Jesus. You're a fool. You're a fool. You do not know when your time is up. Did you realize the Lord has set our bounds?
Oh, thank you.
He's appointed it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do what? You. How many witnesses have we had two this year? Yeah. Didn't we have two?
Yeah.
Clearly said, I never had said that at the end of a year before. Never said that before. Some of us may not have years. We may have days or weeks or months. Lord, put that on my mind and said it. Huh? And it came to pass, didn't it? Now you say, well, that's, you must be the prophet. I know I'm no prophet. Don't you put that on me. That's not me. I'm the Lord's preacher. The Lord knows how to deliver to you warning, encouragement, huh? Motivation. But it's up to you to adhere to what he is saying. Listen, open your ears up, right? And hear what the Lord is saying to you, right? But if the gospel is here, it's here to them that are what? And why are they lost? The God of this world. See, the devil got a reason why he keeps your mind blind. He doesn't want Jesus to shine inside of you. Doesn't want you to gain a knowledge of who Jesus is. Is that what the scripture say? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image. See, you cannot see God without seeing Jesus. Jesus is the image
of God and should shine unto them.
We don't preach ourselves, saints. We preach Christ Jesus is God. Or Christ Jesus is Lord. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God. That's what we preach. Keep going.
And ourselves, your servants.
What are we, saints? What are we?
Servants.
Are you looking for opportunities to serve your brothers and your sisters? Huh? Are you doing that? Are you saying, are you looking for it? Is it something that I can do for my brothers? Is it something I can do for my sister? Right? Sisters, I think a couple of you were coughing today. It's like a radar went up in my head. I looked at Sister Mitchell. Because I'm looking for opportunities to serve. Y'all understand that? You got to have that fixed in your mind. You got to be looking for opportunities to do what? Anything I can do to take care of my brothers and my sisters. I was walking by one of my beach. I said, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to get no pasta and shrimp no more. Because that was my opportunity to serve my brother. No more cases of what? I said, oh, man, I'm not going to have to buy no cases of here. Because that's what I would do. That was my opportunity to do what?
Serve.
But your time is coming. Oh, yeah, my radar is up. Yeah, my radar is up. Say, Elder Scott, I sure would like you, bitch. Don't get mad when it come your way. Don't do that. Don't get mad when it come your way, because I'm looking for opportunities to do what? Yeah. I was, you know, so much stuff that I need to do around the house. When I say, we'll come right over. No, I don't want you to come over my house. You shut up your blessing. Don't do that. The saints are looking for opportunities to do what? Huh? Everybody understand that? Let the saints serve you. And you don't be one to just get it all. Find you a way to do what? Huh? That's right. Serve. Remember mother? Mother couldn't walk around and do everything. She just said, give me a dust rag. And give me some spray. And what she could reach, she'd make them tables look shiny. And she took her time shining. Why? Because she wanted to serve, right? Amen. Right? Amen. The job doesn't stop. Huh? The job doesn't stop because they're gone. The work still must be done, right? Amen, saints. Keep going. I'm going to let y'all go. What did Jesus do? He commanded the light
to shine out of darkness, have shined in our
hearts. Right. Come on. Let the Lord do, saints. Lord wants to put his word inside of you. His word wants to change you from what? Dark? Hey, are you willing?
Yes.
Is that what you want?
Amen.
I want the Lord to change my darkness.
Yes.
Into what?
Light.
Give me a what? An understanding. This path is dark.
Yes, it is.
Do y'all know what you're going to go through next week? Huh? You don't have a clue, do you? This path is dark. You need the Lord to do what? Show me the way to go, Jesus. You don't feel the enemy attacking all the time he's trying to make you feel like there's no hope. There's no future, right? You need this word, don't you? I need the Lord to command. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't need the Lord to whisper. I need the Lord to command. The light to do what?
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that the truth?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe your life don't have dark like that.
Jesus.
I got it.
Uh-huh.
I got it. Sometimes it looks like the devil just bring me in the thickness of it. Yeah, he just bringing me into that. I said, I know I got the Holy Ghost. There ain't no quiet. I know I have Jesus. Why is it so dark? Lord is saying, you need me. Amen. I don't want to say, what do I need you for? Because yes, Lord, I do need you. Well, what the Lord saying, but what do you need for me to do? I need you to command the light to do a shine where? Show me the way I need to go, Jesus. I don't want to be so full of myself. I know when self is speaking. I hear it. Self sounds like there's no hope. Huh? Like you giving up. I can't do no more because you're full of yourself. Where are you leading and depending on Jesus? Where are you asking the Lord Jesus, fix this, Lord Jesus? Anybody can do it. I know you can, right? There's nothing too hard for you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
There's nothing too hard for you. Lord know how to fix stuff.
Yes, he does.
Make stuff work.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, yes, he do. He know how to make love hit like it need to hit. Huh? He know how to bring joy. Huh? That's right. The Lord know how to do his part. But you have to be willing to say, not my will, Jesus. Let your will be done. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to fix this. Let me stop developing plans,
yes,
or strategies.
Bye.
I don't want to be full of myself. In all of my ways, I want to acknowledge you. I want to acknowledge you. You direct my path, Jesus. And the scripture tell you that to trust in the Lord with what? Not some of it. Lean not. See, there's a way you want to do a thing. But I'm telling you, it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to destruction. No good going to come from it. No good going to come from it. I don't care what you do, it's not going to work. I don't care what you put your hands to, it's not going to work. You may think it's going to work. Well, the Lord is blessing me. Don't you put that blessing on Jesus. Don't you put that on Jesus. Your ways don't even line up with it. When you saying the Lord is doing all these wonderful things for you, your life don't even line up with it. It don't even say Jesus is involved in anything that you're doing. Right? Lord say when a man's ways please him. Right? Your ways don't even please Jesus. Well, think about that. Who's directing you? Who's guiding you? Who's leading you? Are you still walking in darkness? Have you allowed the word to be commanded into your life? Commanded what? The Lord to command the light to do what? Shine out of darkness. And it's not just shine out of darkness. He's shined in our hearts. Is that what the book say?
Thank you, Jesus. To give the light
of knowledge of the glorious gospel of who?
And the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
That's right. I'm done. Trust y'all got something out the word. I still ain't get over to my text good. But you heard what you needed to hear. Know the judgment begins here. No mystery why people fall off. You say, well, such and such was coming and they stopped. No mystery. I'm not shocked. I don't understand why people not receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm not shocked. I know the sacrifice must not be right. Isn't this what the altar is for? When you come down to the place of our sacrifice, you're presenting your what? And when you don't hear nothing from the Lord, the only one you can blame is who? I need to go back to the drawing board. Something in me is not right. Because when the sacrifice is right, huh? Suddenly there'd be a sound from where? Heaven. As of a what? A rush. And it'll fill the whole house. We won't have to wonder, is this Jesus? It'll feel. We'll feel it. You'll feel it and we'll feel it. All right, we'll be saying, ooh, look at the Lord. You'll hear the same Lord. Let the Lord have his way. Lord, we magnify you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Our souls say hallelujah, Jesus. Why? Because heaven has answered. Right? They've been endued with power from where? Oh, I'm looking forward to it, saints. Every time we come in for prayer, every service, I'm looking forward to Jesus taking over. I get disappointed when I come in and I say, they got the bump of the log syndrome. Be glad when he be finished. I'm done. Go. Who? There's no seat belts in these seats. You can get up and walk out whenever you're ready. Amen. But I don't want you to. I'll turn my back. Y'all want me to preach to the wall? So that y'all can do what you want to do, right? Y'all must don't understand. I can preach to nobody. I've preached on the corner with nobody. So that don't. Bodies don't move me. That don't do nothing for me. You thank the Lord when he called me to preach, he called me to preach the way he did. The way that he did. Some folk got the calling while they were in a church full of people testifying. Now, I ain't get it like that. I got the calling when it was nobody but me and Jesus. Lord, put the word inside of me. So I don't have to wonder who I am. I know. Like Paul say, I know the Lord made me who I am. All right, saints, we trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. The sin of negligence. Don't neglect to do the things that you know.